The response of Louisiana residents to Mike Pence and Donald Trump showing up to view the damage created by the massive flooding. Trump and his staff said they were there to provide comfort. Last night on the campaign trail, Trump was slamming Clinton for her Middle East policy.
Hillary Clinton owns President Obama's Iran policy. One more reason she can never, ever be allowed to be president.
U.S. fire officials are worried about the Blue Cut fire in California.
This fire has proven to be a very, very dangerous fire. The fuels and everything that that are burning have literally, in the truest sense of the word, been explosive.
The fire shut down parts of Interstate 15 for days, although the roadway is finally open between Southern California and Nevada. USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
Control, this is QL1. Everything looks good on my end. Prepping for liftoff. Over. One more thing, QL1. What's that, Control? You've been talking a lot about Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans lately. What would you say is the best reason to use it?
Well, it's completely online. It's easy to use. You can get approved in minutes. It's convenient. You can share your pay stubs and bank statements at the touch of a button, so you get real numbers, not estimates. And
hey, QL1, I asked for the best reason.
Yeah, go ahead and pick one. Anyone.
That's tough. They all sound great.
I think you're finally getting it, Control.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Visit for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
Presidential candidate Donald Trump making a surprise admission on the campaign trail yesterday. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes.
Republican nominee Donald Trump at a North Carolina rally makes a rare admission that he has sometimes said the wrong things while in the heat of debate.
And I do regret it, particularly where it may have caused personal pain.
The unexpected apology coming just a day after he announces a new campaign team.
Sometimes, in the heat of debate, you don't choose the right words or you say the wrong thing. I have done that.
For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
If you drive on Ohio's toll road, you may soon see cars with no drivers. The Ohio Turnpike's executive director told the Associated Press they're likely to begin testing driverless cars within the next 12 months, possibly before the end of the year. USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
What's at stake at this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voters Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information.
A massive fire in New York City injured several police officers and almost burned a full city block. Here's a story from Sarah Lee Kessler.
Fire officials tell me 22 people, including 20 firefighters, were hurt in an inferno that threatened to burn down an entire block in New Brighton. It began at 6 last night in a home on Benziger Avenue, spreading quickly.
Extreme radiant heat in the street, enough that it melted siding on the buildings across the street.
Fire Chief James Leonard, one resident and a firefighter seriously injured. The other firefighters suffered minor injuries, including heat exhaustion. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
Following up on a story we've been covering on USA Radio News, the investigation into the murder of a jogger might be getting close to the end, according to her father. Here's the story.
Phil Vetrano told reporters outside his Howard Beach home yesterday he feels police are close to catching his daughter's killer.
There are a few suspects that are very interesting to the police. We feel like it's only going to be a matter of days.
However, Police Commissioner Bill Bratton says police are not close to an arrest in the murder of Karina Vetrano, and there are no suspects. Her parents have raised more than $250,000 in reward money in the case. Scott Pringle, NBC News Radio, New York.
Miami Beach's city manager is telling local officials two Zika cases have been linked to their community. An email was sent Thursday morning to the mayor where Jimmy Morales said his office had been in constant contact with Florida's Department of Health about the two local cases. USA Radio News.
morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Well, good afternoon. August 19th. Can't believe it. 2006, and of course, if you've been outside, we've had another rather warm day. So what's the prediction? Well, tonight, again, isolated showers, and then partly cloudy. Possibly good sleeping weather, depending on the humidity. Should be low of about 66 degrees tonight. Tomorrow could be a very lovely day. It's partly sunny, high of about 87 degrees. So again, that could be the best day and should be the best day of the weekend. By tomorrow night, it will again be partly cloudy, low of only about 69 degrees. And then Sunday, there is certainly a chance of thunderstorms, about a 40% chance of thunderstorms on Sunday, high of about 86 degrees. We can expect heavy rain on Sunday night, at least a 70% chance of heavy rain. And of course, depending where you're living, especially Hunterdon and Bucks County or north of that in Pennsylvania, weather really changes between 78, Route 78 north, and certainly another Flemington can be very different than 10 miles north. So Monday, we should have about a 30% chance of showers early and then sunny. And clear on Monday night, about 55 degrees. So that would be a nice day for, or a nice night to hopefully open the windows and get some sleep. So we'll be back right after we play a couple spots from our sponsors. I'm Pat Smits, and I'm back with the law. And I'm sorry I've been away. I know that there have been the last few weeks have not worked out as far as our radio program, but I am here today, and hopefully at least Bill Wolfson will be joining me. I know that John Manfreda can't be here today for the sports guys, but we'll see what we can dig up to talk about for the sports guys. So back in just a couple minutes.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Use.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
Okay, we're back. I'm Pat Smits. Those of you who know me know I'm an attorney here in Hunterdon County. Actually, I practice all over the state, but limit my practice to family law matters. And so I'd like to bring you up to date on generally what's happening in the law, what's happening in the cases. Summer, of course, is fairly slow, nothing much coming out of the legislature. But in fact, there have been some cases that I think some people might be interested in. One is a what we call a civil procedure case. Came out of Atlantic City, the law division. And the question and the opinion addressed whether or not a person asserting a bystander liability claim must file a separate notice of claim under the New Jersey Torts Act to file suit against a public entity. So that was the question. And whether the plaintiff's claim that an amended complaint asserting a bystander liability claim that is filed after the expiration of the statute of limitations can relate back to the date of the filing the original complaint. So in other words, somebody did not file on time, then tried to file the plaintiff in that case then tried to file a claim, an amended complaint asserting a bystander liability claim. And in the opinion, the court, Judge Salvio in Atlantic County, said that a plaintiff asserting a bystander liability claim in accordance with the Supreme Court case that really is the most important case in this area, it's a case decided in 1980, must comply with the notice requirements of the New Jersey Tort Claims Act, and the date of filing an amended complaint alleging entitlement to damages based upon a bystander liability claim does not relate back to the date of the filing the original complaint for purposes of running the statute of limitations. So what does this mean? Well, obviously, it's not going to come up that often in a situation where there's bystander liability. But what this means is you can't sit on your rights. In other words, there are statutes, a statute of limitations as to when someone can file a lawsuit. And most of them depends on the type of claim it is, but you really need to know exactly what the statute of limitations is for that particular type of complaint. Because, frankly, if you don't file in time and file correctly, you lose. And that's what this case actually shows, is that you can't relate it back. You can't file an amended complaint hoping that it will relate back to the original date. So there was another case on as far as it was an appeal to the appellate division, and the appellate division applied the discovery rule to fraud claims under common law and the Consumer Fraud Act. So it's very important for anyone who is in any type of business to understand the Consumer Fraud Act. But in this case, it was arising from the sale of commercial real estate. And the seller and his lender, who were both defendants, knew about environmental contamination on the property, which they had partially remediated before the closing. However, rather than disclose the information, the seller provided the plaintiff an affidavit stating that he was unaware of any contamination on the site. So in this case, in reversing a summary judgment dismissal on a statute of limitations grounds, remember we just talked about that. So the trial judge in this case granted summary judgment and dismissed based on the statute of limitations. However, what the appellate division said is that they held that discovery did not occur until the plaintiff was aware of the facts. In other words, you can't do buyer beware. The plaintiff had to be aware of the facts indicating that the defendant knew that his statements were false and that the defendant intended the plaintiff to rely on his false statements. And so they based this, meaning the appellate division based this on the rule that a plaintiff cannot discover the basis for a fraud claim until he is aware of facts establishing the essential elements of the claim. And in that case, this was, this is an important case. It's a consumer protection case, but it certainly would be important in other fraud cases, and that is Catena versus Rayathon Company. And it is just a new published case. We don't have the citation yet because it was just approved yesterday. So that, however, you can't defraud someone and then hide behind the statute of limitations, which only gives them a certain amount of time in order to discover it and file. It's when they legitimately should have known. Now, there was a family law case, which is published. So often they're not. But this is a case, again, Judge Jones. He's a Ocean County judge, a sitting trial judge, and he's been writing a number of opinions, publishing a number of opinions, and frankly, I applaud him because it's important that we have more published opinions for attorneys to follow. Now, it is true that because he's a trial judge, another trial judge does not necessarily have to follow his opinion. However, Judge Jones always has a good basis for everything he writes. And in this case, he found that under the New Jersey recently amended alimony statute, and it has been recently amended, and so therefore a party may seek to terminate or modify spousal support based on an actual or prospective retirement. And the statute that was amended is NJSA 2A:34-23, paren J and paren 1-3. So the question is, what does prospective retirement actually mean? And in this case, what the judge held is that the amended statute does not set a specific minimum or maximum time period for obtaining an advanced ruling on a prospective retirement. And that's true. It doesn't. However, someone wants to retire and they don't want to, end up having to pay alimony when they don't have the income, the statute recognizes that, in fact, someone can ask for the decision prospectively before they actually retire. So that, however, he also held that the amended statute inherently contemplates that prospective, anybody asking for a prospective decision, that the retirement would take effect within a reasonable time and reasonably proximate, or he said reasonably, a reasonable proximity to the application itself, rather than several years in advance. And what happened in the Mueller case that Judge Jones decided, the application was filed 5 years before the applicant's anticipated retirement date. And what Judge Jones found in that case is it's too far in advance for the court to undertake an objectively reasonable analysis of the application as contemplated under the statute for termination of alimony based on prospective retirement. And he held that in order for a court to reasonably consider the issue of termination or modification based upon prospective rather than actual retirement, the court logically needs to review reasonably current information relative to the time period of the proposed retirement itself in order to appropriately analyze the various factors and the comparative equities set forth for consideration under that statute. So that is interesting that someone would try to do that 5 years before retirement. I guess one thing he or she did was put the other party on notice. And also, an order for prospective termination or modification of alimony based upon reaching a certain retirement age inherently contemplates that the payor, the person who's making the alimony payments, would not only reach a specific age, but would also actually retire at that point. So it's under the new amended statute, it's not unreasonable for someone, let's say, who's 66 years old, and I guess it's 66 and some months now to get full Social Security, but eligible for Medicare at 65, retiring, it's not unusual for someone to then come in and say, look, I want to change. But if it's someone who's perhaps much younger than that and just says, I want to retire in the future, that just isn't going to work based on the analysis in this case. And however, what also isn't going to work is for someone to come in to ask for termination or modification based on retirement when they don't intend on retiring. So, you know, retirement age provisions triggering a potential termination or modification are inapplicable in those cases. In other words, until such time as the person who has the obligation actually retires or submits an application regarding a prospective retirement in the near future. So I think that's the lesson for that case, and it's a good lesson. In other words, if in fact you've reached retirement age and have no intention of retiring, guess what? Unless there are other reasons, alimony is going to continue. So that other cases that are not, obviously, lots of cases that are not published. And the only cases that can be followed by other courts are published cases. And as I said, it's not necessary for a trial judge to follow Judge Jones's case because he's also a trial judge. If it was an appellate division decision, then the trial judge would have to follow. However, it's still really helpful, I think, for attorneys out there to know, you know, at what point should you go in or should you advise clients who want to go in to terminate alimony based on retirement, when should they do it? Now, certainly, if there is a mandatory retirement age, for example, judges in our state are required to retire at age 70. Now, of course, the wrinkle there is that many of them go back on recall or take jobs. We have many, many judges here who are doing arbitration and mediation, and in fact, they're very effective. But it doesn't mean that a judge who retires is necessarily going to have a lower income. In fact, on the contrary, many of them are earning more money. They are getting their pensions, which they deserve. But then they're also, as long as they don't go to court, they can arbitrate, they can mediate, they just cannot litigate. So there was a case approved for publication on damages, and this was Parsons versus Mullica Township Board of Education, and this was a Supreme Court decision, and the Supreme Court decided that the failure to timely communicate the results of a preventative, we're talking about a preventative public health examination, falls within the purview of a statute, one of the statutes. And therefore, the defendants, and this was the Mullica Township Board of Education, they were immune from liability, under this statute. And the Supreme Court further holds that immunizations for the defendants under that statute does not render meaningless the provisions of another administrative code. So the point is, you always have to see whether or not there is immunity or partial immunity, because obviously, if someone's immune, you can sue them, but it's going to get thrown out, and you're going to waste a lot of time. So that was really, there are not many cases that, as I said, have been approved for publication. There are a number more cases, as usual, that have what we call unpublished. There's another interesting question, and this was the fact that a deceased man's allegedly discriminatory reasons for disinheriting his child aren't enough to void the will. And the appellate court said that they declined to recognize a cause of action for what they called libel, L-I-B-E-L, by will. And so that was, in other words, you can discriminate if you decide to disinherit a child, or it's usually a child, disinherit a child because you don't like the person they married. And this was, in this case, the question was whether the deceased, because he had anti-Jewish views, whether or not that would overcome what he decided to do in his will. And it didn't. The latest fallout from the failed prosecution of the late Alaska Senator Ted Stevens, the U.S. Department of Justice was ordered to pay more than $640,000 in legal fees to two federal prosecutors who successfully challenged the department's decision to suspend them for their conduct in the Stevens case. So, you know, whatever their conduct was, that was not going to be, they couldn't get fired for it. So then there's another case, a criminal case that was approved this week, State versus Antuna. And in that case, the defendant's failure, his attorney's failure, to read to him and have him answer a question on the plea form, and that would have conveyed to him the risk of deportation, resulted in ineffective assistance of counsel and requires his plea to be vacated. Now, this is an important issue whenever there is someone charged with criminal charges, because that person, whether they do a plea bargain, they can be deported. And so it's very important that they be aware before they enter a plea that they risk deportation. And so in this case, the appellate division said that resulted in ineffective assistance of counsel and requires the defendant's plea to be vacated. Now, the attorney, of course, provided no affirmative misadvice, as discussed in another case, but his failure to review the question on the plea form with the defendant, who could not speak or read English, requires reversal. So, in other words, if you're pleading guilty, you need to know what the consequences are. And that's basically the difference. And if someone is an American citizen, their consequences won't be to serve a sentence and then get deported. But if someone is doesn't have status, we call illegal immigrant or a person without status to stay in the United States, once they serve their term, they will be deported. And it goes even farther than that. As I said, there are a number of cases for that are not published, and especially in the family area. There really are very few cases in light of all the cases that are published. Now, former Bergen County executive exceeded her authority when she fired a majority of commissioners of the North Bergen County Utilities Authority and denied their $5,000 a year stipend. And that was decided by the New Jersey Supreme Court that she just couldn't do that. Now, a man, and these are always sad cases, but a man who spent the better part of two decades incarcerated before a DNA test exonerated him has cleared hurdles in his civil suit against law enforcement and the court-appointed attorneys who represented him. These are all very, you know, these are very sad cases. Can you imagine losing, 10, 20 years or even more because of ineffective counsel? Now, remember, it's not just because someone lost. It's that they really didn't do their job or that they find that the police fabricated evidence. And I won't go there because it usually doesn't happen, but this is something that is one of the reasons I think that those of us who really don't believe in the death penalty, that's one of the reasons that we don't, because there are a number of men, I don't know, maybe one woman, who've been on death row that after DNA testing, they've been proven that they were not the person involved in the crime. And so not only death row, but of course other inmates, but these are the most dramatic to think that someone would be let alone incarcerated, that they would actually be put to death for something they didn't do. And of course we can understand that someone who is not guilty, they think that the system is fair. They don't want to plead guilty. They don't plead guilty even if it means a reduced sentence. So this has been a concern for many, many years, and of course now there is the DNA testing. It takes such a long time, and so often it has in fact shown that someone who's been in prison for many years should not have been imprisoned. So there's another, I said that about the county executives used to diminish the compensation paid to these commissioners, also violated the statute. As far as health benefits provided to the commissioners in most recent years, the county executive's supervisory authority to review and reject authority action through the veto power is broad and easily encompasses authority to disapprove such administrative action. So it was, partial win, partial loss in that one. Although this is not a case that was published, meaning that it can't be used as precedent, it is a case about college expenses, so I think that it has some interest. In this case, the defendant appealed from the post-judgment rulings, finding her in violation of litigants' rights for failing to contribute to the college expenses of her older son, directing her to pay 30% of the college expenses not funded by loans, and denying her request for attorney's fees she incurred in the motion practice that led to the rulings. The appellate division affirmed, and it found that the trial court, had meticulously considered each of the factors. There's a case called Newberg versus Arrigo, and in this trial judge had been very careful to go through each of those factors for allocating college expenses within the overlay of the asset income standard bargained for within the property settlement agreement. And the appellate court found that the court's 30%, 70% allocation of college expenses was fair and consistent with the law, and also consistent with the factual record, and also consistent with the property settlement agreement. And the court correctly determined that there was no need for a plenary hearing. So always the question is whether there's a plenary hearing needed or not. And frankly, in these college cases, it would cost more for a plenary hearing than the cost of the tuition in most cases. And that's a real problem in college cases. I like to try to get those things resolved as part of the final property settlement agreement because it is so expensive to have to start filing motions for contribution to college. And in my experience, the motions generally end up costing as much as the first year of college. So I try to always either get that resolved ahead of time or get people to try to figure out some way to resolve it, because it really doesn't make any sense to throw money away when the money should be spent for the student and for the college costs. So you end up paying the college costs plus paying the attorneys. doesn't make any sense. Okay, we're going to do a small break, and then we'll be back with more of It's the Law.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Whoops, I forgot to turn this on. Okay, we're back, and a little bit more on what's happening in the news. You know, you think you've seen it all as far as class action suits, and just so you know, even attorneys get upset about some of these suits because it turns out that other than the attorneys who are handling these cases, you know, have you ever received a check for 32 cents? I actually did in connection with some class action. But then I got two checks for 32 cents each, mailed, and of course the postage costs more than the checks. More than the amount of the checks. And, of course, who knows how much it costs to produce the checks, etc. But in any event, the latest that I've seen is a proposed class action filed last week, filed last Thursday in federal court in Camden. And the claim is that General Motors overstated the gas mileage estimates on as many as 2 million vehicles it sold from 2009 to 2016. So this is, whether it's approved for class action, it will, you know, generate lots and lots of fees. Now, there has Johnson & Johnson, however, has been hit with a new crop of suits in federal court in Newark claiming its blockbuster drug, Levaquin, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, L-E-V-A-Q-U-I-N, caused users to suffer nerve damage. Now, you know, frankly, if a drug did have that kind of an effect, that's pretty serious. Not so sure if, since a gas mileage estimate is only an estimate, you know, where are we going with a case like that? Unless it was significant. I mean, obviously, if they estimated that you get 30 miles a gallon and there wasn't a single car that got more than 20, well, then it perhaps is more serious than I'm looking for. There was a case another case in family law, Harrington. Again, Judge Jones, and this one dealt with issues concerning retroactive emancipation and modification of previously unallocated court-ordered child support, and when the parties have multiple unemancipated children. Now, we have a statute in New Jersey that does not allow the retroactive modification of child support. And actually, this came out of the federal government. It was called the Bill Bradley, actually. It was a Bradley Amendment. And the reason for that is that people would have a child support. They wouldn't pay it. Let's face it, it was usually dads. They didn't pay it. They'd move out of state. They'd get another court to retroactively modify the amount of support, or they might even go to another county or whatever. They would get this retroactive modification. So the federal government said no, meaning I shouldn't say the federal government said no. What the federal government said is if you are a state that are getting funding for a variety of things with respect to collection of child support, etc., no more retroactive modification. And so that in this case, Judge Jones said, wait a minute, if there are multiple unemancipated children, then the court has the discretion to retroactively modify or not modify child support back to the date of a child's emancipation, depending upon certain equitable factors set forth in the opinion. And that's a good opinion. I had a case, and I absolutely believe that the appellate court decided it wrong. Trial court, in my case, did not retroactively modify child support, but did retroactively modify child care, daycare costs that were non-existent. And if you look at the federal statute and you look at all of the history, there is an add-on for child care, but it's really not child support. And there is nothing in the legislative history to indicate that the legislature, the federal legislature, ever intended to deny retroactive modification of expenses that weren't incurred. For example, in addition to child care expenses that can be added on, medical insurance can. So if one parent is carrying medical insurance, that will be added on. So this, I believe that the appellate division just got it wrong. But in any event, here the judge said if there are multiple unemancipated children, the court needs to take a look and can, in fact, modify. Because otherwise, as I said, the New Jersey anti-retroactivity statute generally prohibits retroactive modification of an existing child support order prior to the date of the motion or 45 days before that if notice has been given. But it is and should be just the child support. And as I said, we're back in court on my case. And, so what it basically, now we're back in court, and we did have a fraud claim. And because the judge said, I'm not going to make the father pay for child care that was not incurred, that ended the case, or so we thought. So now there's a recent Supreme Court ruling that said insurance carriers may be required to provide coverage for property damage caused by faulty workmanship on the part of subcontractors. So that, probably homeowners and community associations could be a positive ruling there for homeowners that when subcontractors do faulty work. Now the Bridgegate goes on, and in a court filing in the Bridgegate criminal case, quotes a former aide to Governor Christie as saying he, quote, flat out lied, end quote, about whether his campaign director and senior staff were involved in the lane closures. So at least somebody is accusing him of flat out lying. Now the Third Circuit, meaning this is our federal appeals court. We have a district court here in New Jersey, and then the Third Circuit is the Court of Appeals for New Jersey and Pennsylvania. The judges on the appeals court denied challenges brought by Pennsylvania and New Jersey. These were charges brought by conservation groups over state permits for an expansion of a national gas pipeline that runs from southern Texas to New York. And, of course, came right through Hunterdon County, through some fairly sensitive area, through some lovely homes just off of Stanton-Lebanon Road. And it was, you know, kind of, they came, they did their work, and they left, and nobody even knew, or at least most of us that live in that area had no idea that they were even putting, where they were putting that pipeline. They talked about the Round Valley extension, but they really didn't say where it was coming through, and I have no idea if all of the homeowners had even any notice, and it certainly have no idea what they were paid, but they have huge pipelines underground. Can't see them, but they're still underground going through property, which has to have an effect on the value. Well, I guess as far as politics, and I'm not talking politics, but I guess both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump campaigns moved into government-provided office space near the White House as transition planning kicked into high gear. So I guess we have to pay for their offices. There's a criminal law case approved for publication, and this is Supreme Court. And the state is required to disclose all discovery in its possession when it seeks to waive jurisdiction and transfer a case from juvenile to adult court. So, in other words, you have to know what they have if they're making seeking that transfer. And that often happens. If you have a juvenile, depending on the age, depending on the crime, the prosecutor will ask to have the juvenile waived out of juvenile court to adult court, especially for serious crimes, which would, if convicted in the regular adult court, would lead to long sentences. Medical malpractice case, again, approved for publication. It said that the enhanced requirements of Section 41 of the Patients First Act, and that's govern the qualifications of persons permitted to submit an affidavit of merit in a case or to provide expert testimony in a medical malpractice action. This applies only in medical malpractice actions. So in all other cases against a licensed professional, another section of the statute prescribes the qualifications of a person who may submit an affidavit of merit against a licensed professional. This is not something that most people are going to ever have to deal with, so it's really not that significant unless you happen to be one of those medical people. So I think I already mentioned that our governor, believe it or not, has been alleged that he flat out lied. I mean, this Bridgegate was such a, you know, I guess I get frustrated. I've lived in New Jersey more years than I've lived anywhere else. But, you know, the reputation of New Jersey doesn't seem to improve, or at least every time it does, we see something like, you know, this Bridgegate that, you know, all around the country, everybody, you know, sees this. They see it as petty politics. They see it as, frankly, potentially really harming people. And it would have if anyone had been in an ambulance trying to get to New York. But in any event, it doesn't help our image at all. Now, the New Jersey Supreme Court has also issued a revised code of judicial conduct. And the Supreme Court said it's designed to set clearer ethical standards for judges to follow. And believe me, in New Jersey, these judges have, they're really strict guidelines. I mean, it truly is. I'm not saying that they're not appropriate, but we have much stricter guidelines than judges in other states. And, of course, one thing we have, which I truly think that New Jersey is so much better off. Our citizens, we all are so much better off because our judges are appointed. And really, what people don't recognize is what happens in other states when judges are elected. And guess who goes to their fundraisers? And yes, they have to have fundraisers, and they have to be concerned about their rulings. Not that judges here don't, but it's not the same kind of pressure that I've seen in other states. Now, again, after arguing that New Jersey was an improper venue for a suit accusing him of sexual harassment, former Fox News CEO Roger Ailes has agreed to drop his effort to transfer the suit's venue to the Southern District of New York. So I guess he was trying to say, nope, don't want to be in New Jersey. The Third Circuit shut down. Again, this is the appellate Third Circuit Federal. The New Jersey's attempt to legalize sports betting has been rebuffed after a hearing by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit. So, you know, there's been a fair amount going on here. Now, there's a creditors and debtors' right case that certainly is important to attorneys. It has to do with attorney fees. And in this case, appellate division case, the appellate court held that an attorney's pledge of anticipated counsel fees can be considered a receivable under UCC Article 9, and that a creditor may perfect a security interest in those fees that were pledged as collateral for a loan made to the attorney. Now, in this case, because the creditor filed a UCC-1 financing statement and fully complied with Article 9, the creditor had perfected had a perfected security interest which attached, even though the counsel fees had not been awarded. And so this enjoyed priority over subsequent lien creditors claiming against the same collateral. And that was the case Granada versus Broderick. So in other words, if an attorney pledges anticipated counsel fees, and if it's done correctly, it's going to take priority. Lots of people would be happy to hear that. So now the jury found a defendant guilty of first-degree distribution of cocaine and related offenses, and the central issue on the appeal concerns whether the trial judge's response to criticism of the four persons' leadership style by a group of nine jurors. So in other words, there was some of the jurors criticized the way that the four-person was handling things. And so the appellate division held that the judge erred when he allowed the nine jurors to select a spokesperson to convey their grievances instead of interviewing each juror separately. And the appellate division said the error influenced the judge's characterization of the foreperson as an obstructionist. And the judge misapplied the Supreme Court decision in State versus Rodriguez to replace juror number one as foreperson. And then they also went on to say, although well-intended, the judge's decision had the capacity of being perceived by the foreperson as a retaliatory act intended to coerce her to change her stance in the deliberations. And therefore, the judge's bias in favor of unanimity influenced this impermissible coercive action that that he took. So this is, you know, only, I guess, a warning out there to the judges. Okay, we'll be, well, I think we're just about, that's about it. I'm going to play a couple spots. We'll go to the news, and then we'll be back with the sports guys. Stay tuned.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, Celebrant Officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business. One business at a time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Providing a cash ransom to the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism was no coincidence. This was a planned event that sets a very dangerous precedent.
That's New York Representative Lee Zeldin in an exclusive interview with USA Radio News condemning the Obama administration for giving $400 million to Iran in return for U.S. hostages. The State Department has been playing defense today. Here's spokesman John Kirby.
And it would have been foolish if we had gone ahead and released the money and then Iran reneged on the deal. There's not a lot of trust between the United States and Iran.
Wildfires continue to rage in California, destroying thousands of homes. Local resident Dave Bruce's home was destroyed. He spoke to KNBC.
I think it's sad, but at the same time, it's one of those things. Living up here, you have to kind of expect that and be ready. And I think most of us are.
Cal Fire officials say the biggest fires are less than 25% contained. USA Radio News.
Hi, friend. It's Angie Austin with Daybreak USA, and I have some pretty nice hair. Seriously, I didn't always have nice hair. It used to be frizzy and broken and flyaway, and it was very difficult to style. And I have a solution for you if you have the same problem. Cell Therapy by Ovation. It does work. It's a unique breakthrough treatment found in no other hair care line. Cell Therapy Breakthrough Formula nourishes the hair and your scalp for hair that's noticeably thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier looking. It doesn't break off when I brush it anymore. It just looks so much better. And they have a 365-day money-back guarantee. That's how much they believe in their product. Cell therapy by Ovation is clinically proven to reduce breakage by over 80%. Over 80%! Isn't that crazy? That's a lot! Go online to ovationhair.com, and if you're a new customer, get a special introductory discount when you select Angie Austin Daybreak USA at checkout. Great hair, one click away. ovationhair.com and check Angie Austin Daybreak USA for the discount. ovationhair.com, ovationhair.com.
We have to take hundreds of local first responders, police officers, sheriff's deputies, and state troopers to provide security for that type of visit. I would just as soon have those people engaged in the response.
That's Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards covering for President Obama, who's being criticized for not going to Louisiana to see the